FM 104.6, online, Ospedia Channel 5 and DAB2. Vectis Radio plays for you.
You're all by yourself this month.
I am all by myself. What? I do think I'm being joined, but when, I don't know.
Didn't she get the memo?
She did, but literally at 12 o'clock, I think, and then it was too late.
All right, okay. So should we save the stinky questions for Katie?
Yeah.
So joining us, we've got Emily from the Isle of Wight Council. Mm-hmm. And just tell us what your role is there.
Yeah, I'm a HR officer in our recruitment team at the council.
And I've got a really difficult question for you that Sam has set. Mm-hmm. But I've got to be honest with you, I think I might have left it outside.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I've got it. Do you want to start with this one first?
Go for it, yeah.
Because obviously you're into recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll tell you what we do first.
Okay.
You had an event a month back.
Yeah, we did.
How'd it go?
It was really good, actually. Despite the weather that was against us and it was half term, I can't remember the exact figures, but it was about 175, almost 200 people on the day, which still was pretty good for the weather. And the feedback that we got from our like vendors, our exhibitors, and the attendees on the day was that the conversations were really meaningful. The people that came in were, you know, really enthusiastic, really lovely to speak to. It was a really great event. Some volunteers were found for like AGK. I think some people went away with applications. So you know what? It was still
brilliant.
Worth it. You know, some people really benefited that day. So, and that's what it's about. So it was good.
And you were really up against it because it was really hot, wasn't it?
It was really hot. I was outside for quite a bit of it holding a sign and I was...
In the shade?
I did try to stay in the shade. I was a bit worried that I didn't have any sun cream on me, but it was really warm. It was a hot day. And I don't blame family if I wanted to go down to the beach and things instead. So.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I look at it and think, well, what's more important? You know, a job and so on, but...
And the people that came in were really, you know, like I say, really enthusiastic. So yeah. That was really, really good. It was nice to have some really refreshing conversations with people, actually. It was really, really nice. It was a good event. And again, some people really benefited from the event. And that's all we can ask for, really.
Are you ever surprised that when people find out about working for the council, that they're surprised just how many different types of jobs, roles there are?
I think so. I obviously joined the council quite young. I knew about bins, I knew about taxes and that sort of thing, you know, everything that everybody grumbles about. So I knew those sort of departments existed. But being in my job, I'm aware of obviously all of the departments at the council, and I've learned that, you know, we've got quite a lot of directorates, we've got a lot of different areas. We've got our children's services and education sector and social care and even like a children's care home. We've got our adult social care, which is also obviously more care homes for the older generation, but also social workers on that aspect. You've also got like housing teams over in adult social care and community equipment stores, so they go out and help and install, you know, handrails and stuff into people's homes. Didn't realize that was a council function before. We've also got like the leisure centers and the leisure side, so you've also got like Dinosaur Isle, and you've also got the libraries, and there is so much. And then also you've got the more corporate side, so you've got like the HR, the ICT, you've got the business like support side, you've got, you know, what Lucy does, which is the like corporate management support, so supporting the directors and stuff. There's so many different parts of the council that you just don't really realize until you're in there.
And that means that there's lots and lots and lots and lots of different jobs that are available.
Loads.
And I say it's not, because people have this impression. I used to, before I knew all about it, you know, or not knew all about it, but found out a little bit more, that you think, oh, there's just a couple of hundred people over in a building, all walking around in suits, just pushing paper around. No, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
There's a lot of jobs out in the community as well. So, like I say, care homes, but you've also got like our parks, they're all maintained. We've got the parking enforcement. We've got loads of jobs that, you know, aren't sat at an office. As well, it's very broad.
Okay, look, I've got a couple of questions. I've got one written down here. I might have to. I've got my glasses with me. Do you remember how the question went out there? We should welcome.
I don't have glasses,
Katie,
so I can always read it.
Katie, at this point, okay. Do you want me to send that across?
Shall I read it?
I don't know whether to send it across as a bit of paper because we've got the fans, or a block.
Just lob it at my head.
Of notes.
Think fast.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, well, cool. Yeah. Well,
I do
cool.
come from a cricketing family. My dad and brother would be very proud. So who am I asking this to? Katie?
So this is... let's ask Katie. You were late, so... You know.
Hey! Yeah, I was a little bit late. That was a little bit hairy.
So this is a question from Sam. Sam is 20, lives on the Isle of Wight. I think his words would be, he has a few learning difficulties and so on. Mm-hmm. So he's asking... well, you asked the question, but I think that on behalf of him and all the other kids that come in, they might not have like proper exam results and so on, so what can we do for them is going to be one of my questions. Mm-hmm. But obviously let's go on, so
the question was, how can the younger generation work with the council to improve the future of the island to make a positive impact?
Oh, I love that so much.
That's a really good question. Really, really good question.
That's ridiculously good. So bear with me. So
I did the same.
So working with the council, so not necessarily working at the council. So there are a number of ways to answer that. Let's do both. Let's work working for, working with,
and so on.
Let me do the working with first, because it's a bit unusual, and there, I think people won't be actually fully aware that actually we take our young people's opinions and voices really seriously at the Isle of Wight Council, particularly our Children's Services Directorate. Ashley Whittaker, who's our Director of Children's Services, is very, very probing and advocate for young people's voices. So, for example, we are doing interview processes at the moment for senior roles within Children's Services, you know, experienced sort of management level, big stuff. But they're putting together children's panels and things like that at the interview stage so they can get young people's opinions. And funny enough, that's actually what Ashley had to go through when he got the job as the director. They had a panel, I think they were from the Youth Parliament, came in and sat, and they did part of the interview process, asked their own questions, talked about children's services from their perspective. So actually, there are opportunities to have a voice at the council, even from a young age. And I think Youth Parliament, Youth Council is a really, really good way to get involved with that and have your voice heard. Brilliant. Here on the island.
Brilliant. That's
also
good.
Looks great on a CV.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one. What about the other aspect?
So young people working with us. So I think historically, like you were just saying, there's a stereotype of council workers being sort of office-based, sort of boring, suited types wandering about in an office and maybe don't realise how dynamic and exciting it is from the inside. So quite often we're not actually on the radar for young people when they're looking at careers. We go to a lot of careers events and we're continuously trying to sort of engage with young people choosing their career paths, because you can have a really solid long career at the council and start at entry level and train and work your way up and progress. And young people don't see the council as a cool, aspirational place to work. So our job is to try and open people's eyes to how good a career can be with us. So there is actually a lot of opportunity for young people. It's not always qualification specific. The vast majority of our jobs will require a certain basic level of English. So you're probably going to need that 4 and above in GCSE level to be able to cope with the amount of reading, writing, paperwork, communication that's required to do the job in public service. There's, you have to have a level of fluency to be allowed to work in the public sector at all. So that is required. But, you know, for example, maths isn't always required, and other GCSEs are very rarely specified within our roles, unless it's for a specific qualified job like a social worker or something like that, or a teacher. You can step in with, you know, a decent pass in English. And potentially, if you've got maths as well, then that's a bonus. It'll open up a few more jobs. But you don't need masses and masses of qualifications to join us. We also run apprenticeships where you can actually get your basic skills whilst you're studying your apprenticeship. So we had a member of our team a few years ago who was doing their apprenticeship, and they didn't have their English GCSE, and they didn't have their maths GCSE. So they went and did the basic skills at the college whilst they were doing their apprenticeship, and it was just part of the qualification. So when they came out of it, they would have the full qualification for the apprenticeship, but then also their basic GCSE level. So, and the council will do that and will pay for that, so the individual doesn't have to do it themselves. It will actually be part of the role. So it's not offered for every single post, but there's loads of posts that can offer that and give you the opportunity to upskill.
Okay, I'm going to. It's an awkward question, and I don't want you to feel that I'm, you know, pointing the fingers at people and so on. But I think sometimes when you talk to young people, especially, we just had three young people that have been with us this morning, and that they've all come from St. George's School. Mm-hmm. And my belief is when they leave St. George's School, it's almost like some people will be kind of looked after and others won't be.
Yeah.
And you think, what hope is there for them? You want to give them some kind of hope, but you want it to be realistic what they can do and so on. So when we have these conversations with young people when they leave school, are they kind of, I don't know, getting enough encouragement to say, hey, look, there's jobs down at the council, what can they do, and so on? Are there jobs for people that might struggle with getting qualifications and so on?
Yes, but they are harder to find. And finding, so if we take the council as a separate entity out of it and look at the wider employment market on the Isle of Wight, it is difficult to find employers that are open and understanding and are aware of their responsibilities as employers to look after people, for example, with disabilities, reasonable adjustments and things like that. So one thing to look for is disability confident employers. So there's a logo, a brand that you can see on their website, on their jobs pages that say disability confident. And that means that that employer has committed to making their recruitment and their employment disability friendly and inclusive. So it's actually a good thing to raise your issues at the start of the process with those employers, because they're all set up to include you. It includes things like guaranteed interview schemes. So if you state that you had a disability, for example, whether that's neurodiversity or physical disability, whatever it might be, you would actually be guaranteed an interview so long as you fit the basic criteria for the job. So it's actually an opening the door rather than closing it. So disability confident employers is definitely something to look for, and that's a national initiative. The council has signed up to it, hence me being quite pro looking for that.
Brilliant.
But it's it's a really, really good initiative, and it's I'd highly recommend employers looking at whether they could be incorporated into it as well, because it really increases your ability to attract diverse applicants who might bring really good skills to the workplace.
I mean, I hear so many stories about, you know, people that they can't do because they haven't got these qualifications and so on. And I went for a walk about a year ago. I have been for a walk since, but I went for a walk. And
I see you walking most days, Ian.
I went up Nodgem Lane. You know where Nodgem mm-hmm. Lane is, right? And I followed the bins up there. They followed the bin peeps up there. I don't know what the technical term is. What are they called? Refuse collectors these days?
I think so.
Waste services.
Yeah. Anyway, I followed the chaps up there. They were driving up, and every so often they would stop. And there was this young lad. He probably would have been about 20. And he would have been, you know, wheeling the bin on, hooking it up, pushing a button, it took it all out, and then he pushed a button, it would come back, and then he put it back in place. And I looked at it and I thought, that's a job. That's, mm-hmm. What qualifications would you need for that? Because I was looking at certain kids that I knew from St. George's who had just left college and just left the St. George's school, and I thought, they could do that age 20, 21, and in 10 years' time, they could be owning their own house. And what is stopping them? You know, and I look at that and I think, well, yeah, what is stopping them?
I think confidence often, and not understanding that the employment market can be very, very understanding. Again, smaller employers are a little bit more unpredictable. Sometimes they're amazing, sometimes they're not up to speed. So it's harder when you've got a small business. But when you've got a big corporation, something like the NHS or the council, then they're ordinarily really, really well set up to support people. Those sort of more manual roles, whenever we go to a careers event, I would say that's the thing we're asked for most often. At the council, there's not a huge amount of those. So for example, the waste services are outsourced to another company.
Yeah,
we look after the overarching contract, but we don't look after the actual, the on the ground part, a bit like Island Roads. We don't look after the on the ground people. It's all done in a connective partnership working. But for example, the floating bridge, they have operational people on the floating bridge, ticket collectors, that kind of stuff. Shanklin Lift has people every summer looking after that. We have people doing manual work in our fleets services, where they do like oil checks and things like that on all the vehicles and making sure the vehicles are clean and presentable, school buses, that kind of thing. We have roles in maintenance, well, not maintenance really, more installations. But so, for example, if you look at someone at home who's maybe got mobility issues, they might need some adaptations in their home, maybe a handrail, maybe a ramp up to their front door. So we have a team who look after that as well. We have community equipment store, which is essentially a shop where you can go and get mobility stuff, things to help you at home to be stay home and be independent. And all of those roles take an ability to be physically able and communicative, but qualifications wise probably not so much. So there are opportunities at the council that are for more physical, but they are a little bit fewer and far between. We are quite administrative in a lot of our roles.
So can we I mean it's down to everybody, we you know, yourselves, ourselves, you know, to promote and point people in the right direction. Do you think there's enough for young people when they leave, just say for instance they leave a school that, you know, St George's School, they might not get any the qualifications that they possibly need, and they might not know what the next big step for them is. And I say, having young people come in here and having a conversation, there were three people earlier on, then they've now got a bit more hope because they know that, and those people that are listening now, they've got a little bit more hope. You're pointing them in the right direction. Do we do that enough?
Do you know what? The thing that springs to mind is probably not actually answering your question at all, but I obviously went off to uni and I got my degree. I then decided to go on and do a master's degree. And at the end of that, I still didn't have a clue. Like, I knew what I liked and what I wanted to learn about, and I've learned about it for the last 4 years, but I still didn't know what I wanted to do. And actually, I was just sort of researching the jobs market. I was just looking at what was available on the island, and that's how I got into my role. So actually, I don't think it's necessarily once you've just left school. It can be, you know, you've gone on and you thought you knew what you wanted to do and then still don't have a clue at the end of it. I think there's a lot of people in that situation. But, you know, I was quite lucky that I was supported by my family, and they were very, you know, I'm sure like Katie is with her children, helping them find work and things, looking, you know, finding the right places to look, looking on more than just one job site and things like that. There is a lot out there. It's just knowing how to search for it, I think, is the biggest barrier. And once you've cracked that, it becomes so much easier.
I think if I put my parent hat on for a minute, rather than my council hat, my daughter is 17 and recently entered the job market last year. And her and her friends have all been looking for jobs, and everyone's been like, there's no jobs. And I'm sat there going, there's a lot of jobs. But they're not all in the same place. They're not all on the same website. They're not always in the place where you maybe first would look. So, for example, you've got local jobs boards like Isle of Wight Jobs and Island Jobs. They will have a selection, but they will not have everything. They will not have, for example, large national retailers like, let's say, for example, Asda or Sainsbury's. They will advertise on their own website. They won't go on a national job because they simply don't need to. They've got a big enough brand that they can do it themselves. So if you've got a hankering to, you know, maybe work in a supermarket and get some retail experience that way, and you want those hours, you know, round the clock hours doing stuff, you know, online shopping orders and that kind of stuff, then go direct to the website for the employer that you are interested in, and you are likely to find the roles there. I saw Waterstones last year only advertised their job on Instagram. If you were following their Instagram page, you would have seen that they were hiring, and they had a poster in the window, and that was it. That's all they did, and they were overwhelmed with applications.
Wow.
So it's not a cut and dried, easy to follow rule book where you can go, right, if I do this, then I'm covered. So it's about being creative, it's about adapting, and it's about keeping on exploring different routes. I also think Facebook, there are a number of jobs forums on Facebook, and Facebook's not notoriously that popular actually with young people. They're much more sort of Instagram, TikTok and other platforms. And Facebook has a lot of jobs forums on the Isle of Wight where employers are for free posting their vacancies there and just seeing if they can get applications that way. My daughter, again, managed to get a role with a company called All About Catering. They just put an advert on a Facebook group forum and asked for inquiries. So she inquired and the job's hers. So she's done really well. But it's because I'm encouraging her to be creative about how she searches for roles. I also think you're right. From what I've seen of the school leaving market, there is not enough being done to prepare them for how to search for jobs. I think there's a lot of effort put into how do you fill out an application form, how do you perform an interview, what sort of career might you like to do. I think that's all quite well covered, but actually, how do I find the job in the first place? I think we could all do a lot more. I think schools could get a lot more involved as well in preparing the young people, because all the ones I've seen were woefully unprepared.
Do you know what was one? I'd say again, the three people that were here earlier on, they left with a spring in their step because, and a little bit of hope, because you mentioned a few things and they're, you could see their minds were working and thinking, right, okay, there is a little bit of hope out there. And I think we need to do that at some point.
Yeah.
I'll say I'm not having a go at anybody here, because I think what you do is amazing anyway. I really do. It's just, and you can't cover all the bases. You're just one team of people that are doing as much as you can. And we all know that there are certain, especially within the council, you are limited. You have limited resources. But I think, you know, you mentioned putting your parents' head on, and I think that's the most important thing. If you've got a parent that can show you the way, introduce you to, have you checked, have you looked, have you done, then, you know, you've got more chance of that parent, you know, passing on those details to those kids and them coming up trumps at some point. It's probably a better term that I can use rather than some orange person from America that's messing up the planet. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where you look at it and think, if we all work together, you know, it's going to help a lot more people.
There's a concept called corporate parenting that we follow at the Isle of Wight Council, which is where there are individuals who maybe don't have that parental support and maybe haven't had the same opportunities as others as they've been growing up. Maybe they've come through the care system, something like that. And we have schemes and policies and processes in place to support those individuals as if we were a parent. That's the idea. We pick up that parenting responsibility as a council, and we try and again, our children's services team are building more and more onto this as we speak, really. But it's about making sure that they have the same access to, because they maybe don't have that person behind them pushing them. And maybe you don't fall into that category where you are a care experienced young person, but maybe you don't have parental support pushing you forward. There is support out there. You can talk to the team at the Job Centre. They're amazing. The DWP team are brilliant. They're just so cool. They will really help. They are allocated very short time slots, but in that time slot, they will try and help you as much as possible. If you are open and ask lots of questions, they're really keen to support. And then there are other things like no barriers, which is when someone has a barrier to recruitment, so maybe anxiety or a disability or something that's stopping them getting through the door. The team at No Barriers will help and support them through the interview process, find them opportunities, maybe find work experience. There are systems out there to support people who really don't have the support at home. But yeah, if you've got the support at home, use it. Listen to your parents, listen to your grandparents, listen to people who are already connected to the Isle of Wight community. They will know where the jobs are.
It's strange you say that, no barriers. And just to back up what you're saying, a young lady was due to come in, or she thought she was coming in today. She wasn't. She's coming in tomorrow. She's got her day messed up, but she said she couldn't come in today because she's got a job interview, and she actually goes to No Barriers. So they've helped her with that.
They're brilliant. They're absolutely amazing. I don't know the full remit of how they do what they do, but I know, for example, they will give young people who may be with no experience, or who are maybe, let's say, use anxiety as a good example. They will maybe attend the interview with the individual to support them through that process. But then they will also potentially join the individual for the induction stages to help them with the learning and get them up to speed in a way that doesn't put the pressure on the employer. So the employer can actually open up that opportunity without having to add additional resources to getting that person up to speed. So it's really clever. That's probably a very, very bad explanation of what they do, and I definitely recommend looking them up. But yeah, they're a really incredible team, and they really care about the people they represent.
It's nice to know that there are, and there are, as you say, there's a lot of people out there that are caring and doing and so on. And I think last week I was listening to an interview, and somebody had some facts and figures, and they were saying that there's 3,500 people, I think, on the Isle of Wight with learning difficulties there, or disabilities, that have left school. So they're in our community, and you just think, well, we want to get as much help to them as possible, because you want as many of those people employed as possible. Everyone's happy, aren't they?
We literally did a training session, I want to say last week, maybe the week before, on neurodiversity in the workplace and how to embrace it, how to support it, how to encourage your staff to come forward if they have any support that they need, anything that will help them work better, work differently. We're putting together now a training session for internal staff on disability awareness, and that's coming together to go out, I think, next week or the week after. So there is constant training for our management teams, our the line managers in the council, to ensure that they really are making sure that everybody has the best opportunity they can. Because essentially, we want a really diverse workforce that represents our community. If we have 3,000 people on the island with additional needs, then we want to know that there are people within the council that can reflect that and authentically understand where they're coming from. So it's really important to us.
Brilliant. I'm really pleased. You always fill me full of hope when you come in, which is great. I don't know what you wanted to talk about today when you came in. I don't know whether you had a topic or not.
I don't really have a plan, if I'm honest.
And I think we probably dealt with one of the most important topics ever, especially here on the island, because these numbers are only going to grow.
Yeah.
So if we've got something in place that is going to be helpful in the future, I just think everyone's a winner then, aren't they? Really are.
Definitely.
And I think it's probably worth noting, I've opened up my phone whilst we're online, not to be rude, but because I thought it might be quite good to give you a real-time example. We've currently, just today, got 40 vacancies sat waiting for applicants on the Isle of Wight Council website. That includes, for example, a caretaker to work for Bewley House, a site manager at one of our schools. We've got a fleet minibus driver role going there at the moment. We've got senior social worker. We've got roles in planning. We've got roles in legal and law. We're looking for someone to be a curator and museum supervisor. There are some really nice, interesting, unusual, different roles. That one's for the Guildhall in Newport as well, so everyone would assume that was Dinosaur Isle, but it's not. It's a different element. We've got public health. We've got, we've got finance roles, and then we've also got volunteering. So that's the other thing we probably haven't touched on today. If you are someone struggling to get into work and you've tried the standard normal routes and you're just not getting a foot in the door, having that volunteer experience behind you, which brings references and confidence and skills, it's worth doing. Volunteer your time while you're waiting, so that you can keep upskilling the whole time, because volunteering brings a huge amount with it in terms of employability.
Fantastic. Thank you both for coming in. You've brightened up my day. You've given me some hope. You've given other people some hope as well. And you've highlighted the fact that it isn't a load of stuffy old people that work at the council.
No.
There's so much more, and so many more roles are there. So thank you for highlighting that as well.
And a shout out to your wife, because she has been incredible this week.
Has she?
Absolutely incredible. I've been amazed. She's brilliant. So, just a little shout out to her.
I know, if she's listening, don't get you out of making my tea.
Maybe a foot rub at some point this week, I think.
I don't really like foot rubs.
Oh, maybe not then. Maybe not.
Oh, you meant give her a foot rub?
Maybe.
All right, okay. All right.
She's definitely earned it. She's been brilliant and so supportive this week.
All right, brilliant. Look, thank you so much for coming in. And, we've got to kick you out now in the heat. You can't have to take the fan with you.
I
if
might.
You want.
I've got them both pointed on me. Poor Katie sat there bouncing.
Oh, well, she should have been here on time.
Well, that, yeah. Punishment.
That's what you said.